Have it posted for you by lunchtime at WABF1480.com. And good morning, Mayor.
Good morning, Lori.
I didn't get to watch the work session or the meeting last night on the YouTube channel, but I went to go pull it up on the Fairhope City's website, fairhopeal.gov. And the first thing I saw was a big red banner across the top of the page saying the Fairhope Working Waterfront, the updated plan, updated conceptual plan for the Working Waterfront Restore Project. So the map was unveiled. I keep saying map, the design, if you will.
The conceptual.
The conceptual plan for folks to look at. And you're going to have yet another public comment period. Tell us about it.
Yes, so we unveiled that plan again last night, and there will be a two-week period before the council votes on a narrowed scope of work and votes on this conceptual. So it gives people another 2 weeks to comment. And again, I have over 400 comments. I brought my notebook with me so I could show you, Lori, how many comments that we have. We also have another spreadsheet that we've gone through. I think that we have a good plan. It's not something everybody's going to agree with, but what I will tell people is to please remember this is a conceptual. Each part and component of this plan has to go back before the council because every part has to be engineered, designed, and bid. So it gives people yet another opportunity once it goes back for the bid to reach out to their council member, to reach out with me and give some comment. But, you know, once they adopt that conceptual, we hope 12 months from now that we are ready to start construction on this project.
Okay.
These restore grants, you know, it's not every opportunity that you, it's not every chance you get 100% grant funding. This is 100% grant funding, $6.2 million.
Whoa.
And that's huge for us. I mean, this pier, you know, has been there for a really long time and it's in desperate need. That area is in desperate need of some upgrades. You know, just infrastructure wise from, you know, we talk about the fountain. That's one of the priorities that we have. There's four priorities and the fountain's one of them because we're spending about $30,000 a year just on piping and pumps for that fountain. And that's over, you know, that's a lot of money when you do that every year for, you know, 20 years, 10 years to upgrade that. So we're looking forward to being able to upgrade that pump system, something that, you know, is functional, something that's new and innovative, something that really works. So we're anxious to do that, but also to add some pedestrian features that create more of a pedestrian flow around the circle, makes things safer, you know, add some crosswalks, some things like that, that hopefully we took away on that, I guess on the north, on the south side of the circle, you know, there's two traffic flows that go through there. There's the inner circle and kind of an outer circle with a parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
We've taken that component out. We feel like that's much safer for pedestrians. So, you know, creating some of that accessibility and again that pedestrian flow is going to be a priority. The seawall is also a priority. Everybody knows right now that the seawall has taken a beating the past several years just from weather, and especially with Sally. We're waiting on the core permit that we're hoping is going to be here pretty quick just to do a temporary repair. But that seawall, the seawall all the way from where the start of the North Beach is all the way around to the south end really needs some structural upgrades. So we're looking forward to being able to do that. That's the first priority that we have, is to get that seawall back in place and to use some different materials, look at a design that's functional, something that works well with the water and the weather that we have. So, you know, we're excited about being able to do these upgrades.
I like the way in the plan that is unveiled, as I mentioned, I encourage everybody to go to fairhopeal.gov. You can also find it on our Facebook page and the city's Facebook page. I like where in this plan you show existing park area to remain, existing bluffs to remain. That kind of clarifies some concerns, and the changes are not near as drastic as the original plan, and yet they do include a bathroom on the South Beach, which I think is very much needed, as well as handicap accessibility. Tell us about that.
It does. So the bathroom, yes, is there. But again, I'll remind people, this is a conceptual. I have had some conversation with somebody who lives adjacent to the bluff that made some really good points about, you know, the bathroom placement where it is right now on the conceptual. That might not be the best location. Maybe it needs to move further north.
Because it's next door to their property?
Well, no, it's not next door to their property. It's because that's where most of the people are on the north south part versus the south South Park. The other thing for security, you know, so the police are able to really get close to that. I mean, if you have, you know, things going on in the bathroom, it's not real lit down there. You know, so you want to think about the safety too. So there are some things in this conceptual. That's what I'm saying. It's a conceptual, mm-hmm. things that can change. But yes, the bathroom, the ADA accessibility is something that has been, you know, discussed with several people. Some people just don't like that there's a switch back there. But, you know, federal law mandates now that if we provide an access, you know, if we do anything with the stairs that provides access with people who have normal mobility, then we have to play, you know, give an alternate route for people with limited mobilities. I don't love the switchback. I'm not a huge fan of that.
And a switchback is, you mean like a walkway that's going to go back and forth,
right,
and gradually decline,
correct,
so
correct,
that a wheelchair can,
correct,
go down.
A wheelchair, yeah, a walker,
uh-huh,
a stroller,
okay,
somebody who just needs to hold onto a handrail who can't, mm-hmm, navigate the stairs. Maybe they've had knee replacement and they just need, you know, so you can't cut the hill down enough, the bay hill down enough to get that grade required for ADA accessibility. You could, but there's a lot of infrastructure in that road. There's, you know, gas lines and electric lines and that kind of stuff that you would have to, you know, literally, you know, replace and remove and put somewhere else. So, I mean, that's the reason that we have the switchback. And again, I'm not a huge fan of it, but I think, you know, because times have changed, it's necessary.
Yes.
So again, it's, you know, something that not a lot of people are going to be happy with, but it's the necessary, you know, it's what you have to do.
There's some
to
new
meet compliance.
Right. There's some new permeable parking. And there's also an expanded walkway there along the waterfront. Correct?
There is.
Okay.
So.
And I also see number 7 is a sunset porch, an extended paved area for sunset viewing and waterside activities, including new seawall and furnishing. And that's lovely. I don't see a pavilion or a building for a stage. Has that been next?
There is a no, there is not a pavilion at this time. I mean, if the funds would allow, that's something that we can add as an alternate down the road if we decided we wanted to. But right now there is no pavilion planned.
Okay.
I think, you know, most people love the natural beauty of this park.
Mm-hmm.
There's opportunity for people to just sit up on the grass and gather if they want to. I think a lot of people were concerned that even with the Sunset Gazebo, that it might be a place for people to gather for like a small event, you know, events to be held. It's really not that big. It's like 30 feet in diameter. So there's enough for some rocking chairs, some bench seating for people to watch the sunset. But, you know, we want to maintain the natural beauty of this park. I mean, you know, I love to go down there and see kids throwing footballs and, you know, families having picnics. So I think that's part of it. And certainly, you know, there's ample opportunity for somebody, if a musician wanted to go up there and sit and play, they can do that. But, you know, a good example of not really the need for a pavilion is like the ESRT when they do their plays on the bluff. It's so beautiful to sit there and watch those plays and look at the backdrop of the bay as their, you know, as their,
right,
as
and
their
they
background.
Just put up a temporary stage.
They do.
Just
they
like
do.
At Earth Day.
Correct.
Down on the
Correct.
South Beach. Okay. All right. Well, that looks very nice. And once again, on viewing and for open for comment until April 26th. And for those that say, well, that's only 13 days, give us a background. This actually started, what, well over a year ago?
Well over a year ago. Actually, I think it was closer to maybe 2018.
Whoa.
I want to say this started at the end of 2018. So, yeah, it's been ongoing. And again, there's time deadlines to these projects. You have to do these timely. I mean, we
in order
have,
to get the grant money.
In order to get the grant money. Mm-hmm. And again, we do not want to, we definitely do not want to lose this grant money. So, I mean, it's something that we need to move forward on. I hope that people will appreciate what they see and will offer public comment if they want to, but understand that, you know, we're not going to make everybody happy. But hopefully they will trust us enough to know that we're going to be good stewards of this property, good stewards physically of the money that we have, and to do what will carry Fairhope into the next 50 years. One thing I will tell people is that the conceptual, I'll also have it at City Hall for those people who want to just come by and look at it on the big board. I'll put it at City Hall. I know a lot of people don't like to get online, but I will put it at City Hall too for anybody who just wants to drive by and take a look.
And make sure if you are online, zoom in, because you do have to zoom in and look at different areas and read and be able to read the print. But Going back to, you said you brought your notebook full of comments, a couple of inches thick, many with photographs. What were some of those comments that you wanted to mention?
Yeah, I think most of the people just, you know, they really just do not want to, they don't want to see the natural beauty of the park changed. They really want to maintain that green space. And I think some of that came from, you know, when they see things at on the bluff, like public art or the lift station that was put there that took up a, you know, a good portion of that, of the bluff area just above the South Beach Park. I just think people want to make sure that we are, you know, again, we're maintaining the green space and not doing drastic changes. You know, this is Fairhope's Town Square. We say that on a sign that's placed right down at the pier. And, I mean, it's the first place I want to take visitors when they come to town. So they just want to make sure that we're not going to do anything drastic and that we, again, maintain the natural beauty of the area, which we intend to do.
Very good. We're speaking with Fairhope Mayor Sherry Sullivan here at WABF. It is 8:35 and 62 degrees. We're only on item number one on the work session. I'm not sure how much we're going to get to, but number two was a presentation of a proposed project for USA's medical building and possible surgery center.
Right.
Where would that be and what was the proposal?
So it is going to be that proposed project is at 181 and 104. So
if, oh, yeah, of course. Okay.
On that corner there, the property was donated by Melinda and Lewis Mapp, and Owen Bailey was there to do the presentation. And it's a physician office building and possibly a surgery center. The surgery center is under CON review, Certificate of Need review. So they won't know that till this summer if they get the CON. But they are going to move forward on the medical building. So it's a great project. You know, it's nice to see them wanting to make that investment in our area and bring specialties that are not currently offered here, like, you know, a lot of pediatric services and those type physicians that will come to the area. So mm-hmm. I'm really excited to see that project start.
Okay. Anything else on the work session you'd like to mention?
I don't think so. You know, the Fairhope Volunteer Fire Department was there to do a presentation to review their financials and to go over their projects for this upcoming year. You know, we have 52 volunteers with the Fairhope Volunteer Fire Department. I mean, they provide an invaluable service to Fairhope and to our residents. So
yes,
just thank them so much for what they do and for what they contribute to our community. And just glad that we have that partnership with them and work hand in hand to make sure we provide the services and equipment that we need to protect our citizens.
Fairhope residents would have received an envelope in the mail recently, a letter from the Fairhope Volunteer Fire Department asking for donations.
Correct.
Their annual fundraising letter.
Correct.
Which the city partially funds, of course, the department, but it's still on a volunteer basis as far as the members. And whenever someone new comes to town and realizes we have a volunteer fire department, they question that and express concern over that. Tell us why we shouldn't be.
We shouldn't be concerned. I mean, Fairhope's maintained an ISO rating of 4, which, you know, directly impacts our insurance for numerous years now. And the other thing is, you know, you have 52 dedicated professionals who are fighting fires. And a lot of those, you know, several of them are firefighters in their full-time jobs. They have all the training. They get all the same training as other fire departments. And, you know, they're one of 38 volunteer fire departments here in the in our area. I want to say in our state, but 30 right. in our county, 38 volunteer fire departments, and they are the largest in Baldwin County and the most active in Baldwin County. So they just do a great service, and they are trained, they are professionals, and they do a great job for our community.
Yes, they do, and I have them here the third Thursday of each month, which is this week, because Thursday was the first day of the month. I got confused looking at the calendar, because you join us the second and fourth Tuesday.
Correct.
But yeah, this week is the third Thursday. Let's move on to the agenda and look at number 7. This is an emergency watershed protection program with the City of Fairhope and the United States Department of Agriculture. Was this the FEMA reimbursement? I'm not sure this is.
It's not FEMA reimbursements. It's NRCS projects that directly relate to watershed areas. So Quail Creek, there's an area out near Bunker Loop that needs to have some work done to it. And there is they've all been, I guess, expedited because of damage from Sally. So we submitted 7 projects that we've been monitoring here locally, and these 3 were chosen by NRCS to fund. It's basically a 75-25 match. So the city pays 25, NRCS pays 75, but these are just drainage projects that need to be taken care of, and because of Sally, we're able to, you know, expedite those and get funding for them.
NRCS is Natural Resources Conservation Services, and they are providing $869,500.
Mm-hmm, correct.
Wow.
Correct.
Projects for Quail Creek, Fairwood Drive, and North Summit Street.
Correct.
Okay. All right, let's see, as we continue through the 3-page agenda. Number 11, we touched on with Jack, but if you'd like to mention consulting services for our natural gas pipeline distribution compliance. We had an issue, a backup with our gas department, and then under some kind of a state review, is that right?
Yeah, right. The gas department had been, we've had actually folks in replacing some pipes, some steel pipe, and also replacing some services to homes. That's just something you have to do with an aging system, and, you know, you have to have a plan in place for that, and you have to work that plan. The state did kind of, slap us on the hand and said, hey, you need to get busy doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So that was part of the project that we did. And this is something that you have to do every year. It is a compliance project. It's where you have to notify people who live along your gas line in a certain mile radius to let them know that there's a gas line there, what they should do in the event if they smell gas, if there is an emergency. So this is something that you have to do. Actually, almost $25,000 of this is postage alone, because you have to do these notifications twice a year to be in compliance. And we have to mail to like 20,000 people, so it's a printing and postage mainly for the compliance.
Okay, all right. Let's go to number 16. I think I missed this with Jack Burrell yesterday. The city council has voted to procure a 6-passenger and wheelchair ADA approved shuttle. Is this the shuttle that we've talked about for some time that will eventually be at the alley and take folks to where they need to go?
That's correct, Lori. So apparently this has been a project that's been discussed with the council and the former mayor for several years. They have wanted to purchase a shuttle that will be housed in the parking garage to really encourage people to park there. So if you park in the parking deck, then you'll be able to use this shuttle. We're working out a plan now to hopefully get some volunteers to be able to shuttle people around town. So that's our intent with this. We're really excited about being able to do it. We hope that it'll help with some of the traffic congestion and also encourage people to park in the parking deck.
Yes, that's a great plan that goes kind of go along with the new Fairhope Arts Alley.
Correct.
Where the entrance to the parking deck here on North Church, behind the hardware store and the other buildings, that area will be turned into more of an attractive alley to encourage people to use that parking garage more as
right.
well.
What we're calling is a transit hub. I mean, it's being
right.
It's being funded by MPO, and also Single Tax has gotten on board with the project to maybe help with some art components of it. But there'll be a restroom facility there, and also, just some aesthetic upgrades to make that more inviting and pleasing to people.
Tell us about why we are enacting, or did we? I didn't get to see the vote. Did the vote go through for a fee for the walking track? And I have a question from a listener I'm going to pull up while you tell us about that.
It did go through. So the walking track, you know, is the elevated walking track, indoor walking track at the rec center. And during COVID, they actually started charging a fee during COVID because they had to limit the accessibility to the center. And they needed to track people who were coming in for contact tracing and stuff. So
right.
In the past, it's always been a free walking track. Obviously, we offer sidewalks for people to walk outside. But being, obviously, we have a lot more young families here now. But also being a retirement community, it was always the goal of the city to provide that safe indoor, track for our elderly population, people who just feel like they need a safe place, you know, climate-controlled area to walk. But with COVID, some things have changed. And again, you can't just go to the rec center and, like, for a day pass to play basketball. You have to pay for that. You have to pay to use the pool. So the rec board and a couple of council members made the recommendation that we and Recreation Director Pat White made a recommendation that we charge the $10 per month fee for the use of the rec center walking track. I'm technically not a proponent of that. I think that we ought to offer that free of charge, but again, that was not my decision to make.
Okay. All right. So the council voted it upon the request of the Recreation Department Director.
And the rec board. Yes.
Okay. Well, that answers the question from a citizen who said, as they recall, the free walking track was a gift to the Fairhope citizens from former Mayor Tim Kant, the intent to encourage people to walk, and wondering why a fee would be implemented now.
I mean, my dad walks there. I mean, my dad had a heart attack and a stroke, and he goes up there to walk, and it's a great, again, climate-controlled area where he feels safe walking, and, you know, so I hate to see there be a charge. Certainly, I'm sure he'll pay the fee just like anybody else would, but it's, again, their way to control people coming in, a security issue, you know, making sure they know who's in the building, and it's certainly not, you know, the $10 per month is not a revenue stream for the city, but something they felt was necessary.
Okay. All right. Let's see here. Tell us about the, I missed this too with Jack. I try to ask different things of both of you so everybody listening we can get everything covered, especially when there's 30 items on the agenda.
It's a late night.
Number 23, updating new footwear policy. What are we doing there? Safety toe boots for everybody?
It is. It's safety boots for everybody, basically. And they have been doing that for a while. It's a policy that was put in place. It offers a certain dollar amount for each employee to be able to get footwear. It allows them to have footwear once a year. Actually, sanitation can get boots twice a year because they are rough on their boots up and down on trucks. And other employees are able to do that with approval through their supervisor and through me. But, you know, I felt like we really needed to put a policy in place that was adopted by the council. It will become part of our handbook, and people will be very clear on what that policy is.
Okay. Number 24, to purchase real property on Morphy Avenue necessary for utility infrastructure improvements. Where is that property and what will be there?
It's the property is at 8300 Morphy Avenue. It's just for utility infrastructure upgrades.
Okay. Speaking of utilities and upgrades, we had about 80,000 gallons of sewer spill, and I don't mean this hypocritically, really, after such a rain event, that's a lesser volume than we may have expected. But the one reason we have all of these improvements going on, if you'd like to give us an update again to remind folks about the sewer and the infrastructure upgrades.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. And again, I want to remind people, nobody wants to see those sanitary sewer overflows, especially me or the council or our wastewater treatment, you know, facility and our employees there. Nobody wants to see that. But when you have rain events like this and you have infiltrations in your system, and when I say infiltrations, areas where stormwater gets in and over inundates the lift stations, then this is just something that happens. We are doing everything we can to prevent that. We are doing, you know, this restore project, the $10 million restore project that we have going on. And people keep saying, you know, oh, you're doing this restore project with the pier. Well, why don't you do a restore project with the sewer system? Well, we are. It's a $10 million project that we're continuing to work at the same time we're doing the waterfront. And it will actually go in and line those pipes so there won't be as many infiltrations. We'll look at manhole covers and those type of things. One thing I would remind people is when you see areas flooding, and you're going to be surprised that we've seen this, Lori, but when people see areas flooding, they will actually go lift the manhole cover and let the storm, you know, let water drain in. Well, those manhole covers are there for a reason.
Don't do that.
Don't do it.
Wow.
And those are the kind of things that we fight every single day. So I will remind you, if you knock the sewer cap off with a lawnmower, or you see a manhole that needs repair or anything like that, please notify us. And please do not remove the manhole covers and just let stormwater run in. I mean, that is what causes your lift stations to overflow. So I will just, you know, remind people we are doing some necessary upgrades. And we are, Jason Langley, our water and wastewater superintendent, is doing a great job of, you know, with the increased development we're seeing is really working with developers to make sure they're doing aid to construction, doing things that they need to do to upgrade the wastewater, you know, and water lines in the areas where those developments are going in. But it takes everybody, you know, to do their part. And so this is where the citizens can help. If you see there's a place where there's infiltrations in the system, please notify us and let us know.
Okay. Number 12, something about the watershed, emergency watershed protection with some grants. What is that about?
That is the same thing with the NRCS.
That's what I was thinking.
It is. It goes hand in hand with NRCS. So this is the first project. This is the Quell Creek project
out
there.
This is the engineering professional fees.
Right, hole 2 and 3 at Quell Creek. So, yes, this is the engineering for that project.
Okay. All right. As usual, I encourage our listeners to submit questions as I interview Fairhope Mayor the second and fourth Tuesday, City Council the second and fourth Monday. I don't have any other questions submitted, and before we run out of time, what are anything else you would like to mention that I haven't thought to ask? I know we've just kicked off the farmer's market.
Yes, the farmer's market, and we have a community shredding event this weekend.
Oh, yes, I saw
that. You know, Earth Day was canceled because of COVID. Just the planning of that was hard, so they canceled Earth Day, but we are continuing with the community shredding. It's a curbside community shredding, so bring your documents, things that your important papers that you feel like need to be shredded. It's from 10 to 2 down at the beach park, and our sanitation crews will be there. Dale Linder and all of his folks will be down there to take your shredding and to get that taken care of for you.
And that's this Saturday. Right?
It is this Saturday.
Okay, very good. And then Arts and Crafts Festival will be here before you know it.
It will. We're really excited about Arts and Crafts. Matter of fact, they were there last night. We had decided, you know, the Arts and Crafts Committee had decided not to do shuttle service. And with a lot of these events that are happening now, people are so anxious to get out. We're realizing that the crowds are just going to be huge.
Right.
And we have, you know, been in contact with all the local churches looking for parking and identifying that on a map. But we realize we really do need to do that shuttle service. So we are doing the shuttle service. There will be one pickup, and it'll be out at the rec center, that big green space for people who are from here where the visitors park for football is where you will park. So and are able to ride the shuttle. It's a $5 fee, and that covers you to and from. They'll give you a little armband. And again, parking is always limited downtown, so the shuttle is the way to go. It will run continuously Saturday and Sunday, not Friday, Saturday and Sunday of the festival from 9:30 to 5:30.
Oh, good. Okay, very good. Okay. And for those that joined us late last night, the updated conceptual plan for the Working Waterfront Restore Project was the actual plan, the diagram, if you will, the map, was discussed, unveiled, and it's now posted on the city's website and Facebook. And public comment will be taken until April 26th, when the City Council is likely going to vote on the project. Is that right?
We hope so. I mean, again, we have a timeline, a strict timeline that we have to follow, and we are already have, you know, just gotten an extension on this project, which we cannot really ask for another extension. So we really want to make sure that we move forward.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Mayor Sherry Sullivan.
Thank you, Lori.
So much appreciate your time. And I'll have to go pull up. You said Fox 10 called you this morning, and you did an interview this morning.
They did, yes.
So I'll have to go pull that up. And we appreciate you taking care of our fair city.
Thank you, Lori.
Thank you. It is now 8:52. This is WABF 1480. As I mentioned, if you missed part of this interview,